Hello everyone, hello. This year is dedicated to Lili Nishmas, Rachaleya Bas, Replying Tzvi. We have learned through the Chafetz Chaim's introduction, the Psicha, and the Hakdama. Now we're up to the Sefer itself, the laws of Lashon Hara, the Sefer Chafetz Chaim itself, the halachas of Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim has Kualim, 8 Kualim, where he goes through, 10 Kualim, 10 chapters, in the halachas of Lashon Hara. That's the way he breaks it up, a klal with this Ifin. Now, it's interesting, the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, it's a halacha Sefer. The halacha is the laws of Lashon Hara, what's mutter, what's aser. But there are really two ways to learn this Sefer. Because you could learn just the dry halachos. What the Sefer itself, what's mutter, what's aser, when and how. But the Sefer Chafetz Chaim also has very elaborate footnotes and haros. He explains the sources for everything that he says. First, he a source for everything that he says. And if there is one Gemara that or two Gemaras that seem to contradict, and he'll explain how they fit together and how it fits with what he said. And he gathered all the Gemaras and all the Rishonim, and he brought it all together. And in the footnotes, you have really elaborate discussions, detailed, like learning Be'il, in depth, about all the background for the laws of Lashon Hara. And, you know, if a person wants to, you can learn the footnotes of the Sefer as well. And you're learning the topic, Be'iyun Gamur, totally Be'iyun, in a very in-depth way. Not just the dry halachas, what's mutter, what's aser, but in a much more intensive way, you learn the background as well from the footnotes. I know whenever my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlit talks about the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, he always points out the Chafetz Chaim quotes every Gemara that's relevant to Lashon Hara and the Rishonim, like the work that the Chafetz Chaim did, it's fabulous. All the Makaros. You know, there are kololim around the world where they'll spend a zman learning the Sefer Chafetz Chaim Be'im. They'll go through the Sefer in depth in every line and analyzing and every footnote in this Gemara and that Gemara and this Rishon and that Rishon. Okay. What we're going to be doing really is sort of in between. We're not going to just be learning the dry halachos. We're going to be learning the footnotes as well, but we're not going to learn every footnote in depth. These footnotes are very, very, very long. We're going to be learning Bezrat Hashem highlights from the footnotes as well, which will add a lot of depth to what the Chafetz Chaim says, give the background, the sources, and the analysis. So we'll be going through the Sefer with the halachos and the haros, not all the haros, not every long haro, but we'll be discussing a lot of the haros, taking out the highlights from the haros themselves. Okay, so let's begin. Klal Aleph, Seif Aleph. The Chafetz Chaim begins. Aser l'saper b'gnus chaveiro afil alemes gamur. You can't talk in a derogatory way about your friend, even if it's totally true. The yesh b'hasipur shelo tarova shel sheker. If there's a lie also in what you're saying, va'avur zeh niskana chaveir yoser, hu b'chal motzi shemra, that's already motzi shemra, va'avono so... If you lie, then it's worse. That's also a shame. V'amasaper over below tase. Whoever speaks Lashon Hara violates this lav. Which lav? Shenemar lo teleich rochel be'amecha. V'zagam kein b'chal rechilusu. Don't be a rochel. Don't be a tail bearer. And this lav is included in rechilus as well. That is Seif Aleph. Now, to those of us that have just finished learning the introduction, this halacha seems, we know it already. The Chafetz Chaim begins the introduction with a very similar halacha where he presents the lavin and the asein about Lashon Hara. Now, so it goes as follows. In the introduction, the Chafetz Chaim was giving a list of all the mitzvos and all the lavs that a person violates if they speak Lashon Hara. And that was the point, and we discussed why he has the list and what it's all about. Now in the Sefer itself, he's been in the halachas of Lashon Hara. Now, when you write a halacha sefer, you always start from the basics. What is the basic mitzvah? What is the basic lav? Give me the simple, and then you go to the more complex. That's how you write a halacha sefer. If you open up the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, so you have the chapter on bishul. So first he defines what is bishul, what is the basic rules of bishul, and what's the lav, and then the more details of all the details of halacha maisa. Of bishul. That's how you teach halacha. You start from the basics, and then you develop more of the details. So the Chafetz Chaim here, in the halacha part of the Sefer, is starting from the basics. There's a lav, it's us to speak Lashon Hara. If You had to learn the entire introduction. We know this already. Okay, not everyone learns the introduction, number one. And number two, like I said, when you're writing a Sefer Halacha, it has to be clear that we're going to develop more details about the laws of Lashon Hara now in this first Klal, this first chapter. So this is the opening Halacha. Speaking Lashon Hara, even if it's true, is an Isser Deraisa. What's the Isser Deraisa? Lo Seilich Rachel Be'amecha. Okay. Now, the Chafetz Chaim has a lot to say here in the footnotes. Number one, this idea that Lashon Hara is Aser, even if it's true, so we know it now, we all know this, because the Chafetz Chaim wrote a Sefer, and it's become very popular, and in the last 100 years, so this idea has become more popular. But when the Sefer was written, this wasn't not everyone knew this, so the Chafetz Chaim spent a lot of time in the footnotes bringing their sources and the proofs that Lashon Hara is us, or even if it's true. So let's see inside. Footnote Aleph from the beginning. Emes Gomer. Ulefi shezehu atos harishon. Sherigilin ha'olam litos bo. Since this is the first, this is the primary mistake that most people make, the standard mistake most people at least used to make, is that Lashon Hara, if it's true, might not be us. If it's true, but it's true. So the Chafetz Chaim says, no, that's a mistake. And since that's the primary first mistake, Al Kain, therefore, Avilach Al Zeh Gimel Eidim, Min HaMikra, V'Achar Kach Mikol HaPoskim, D'Yisru HaFil Al Emes. He's going to bring proofs that it applies even if it's true. Proofs that it applies even if it's true. The Chafetz Chaim has many proofs here. We're just going to learn a few of them. That Lashon Hara is Aser, even if it's true. So for example, in the second paragraph of the footnote, he quotes the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota is listing, and Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, is listing four groups of Rishayim, evildoers, and these people they're such Rishayim, the Gemara says, Rachmanu Litzlan, they won't be Mekabel the Pnei HaShechina. They're not going to greet the Shechina, whatever that means exactly. So let's read the Gemara. V'od Raya, Midachishev B'Sota, B'Sof Perik Eun Emarin. In Sota, there's a list. Chishev means to list. There's a list. Dalit Kito Shein Mekalvim Pnei Shechina. There are four groups. What are the four groups? Two of them are Ubatocham, Kat Shakranim, liars, and Kat Mesakre Lashon Hara, and Lashon Hara speakers. Oh, so if Lashon Hara is Aser, only if it's Sheker, only if it's not true, so then you want to have two separate groups. Every Lashon Hara speaker is also a liar. So then how come there are two groups? If the Gemara separates and makes two groups, it must be that Lashon Hara is Aser even if you tell the truth. And that's what the Gemara means. One group is liars, shakranim. And a separate group is Lashon Hara speakers. Is there an overlap? Not necessarily. Because Lashon Hara is Aser even if it's true. Let's see, the Chafetz Chaim continues. V'i Lashon Hara eino Aser. Rak b'sheker. If Lashon Hara was only Aser when you're lying, how come it's listed as two separate groups? Rabbi Yonah quotes this proof in the Shaarei Tshuva. So that's a very strong proof that the language of the Gemara indicates quite clearly that Lashon Hara is Aser even if it's true, because there's one group of liars and a separate group of Lashon Hara speakers. If Lashon Hara was only Aser, were only Aser when, if a person was lying, then it's really the same group. Since it's two separate groups, you see Lashon Hara is Aser even if it's totally true. Another proof the Chafetz Chaim brings. The Od Raya, Mide'isa be'Baba Basra. We find in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Da'adam Be'ez. The Gemara has a case there where one of the Tanaim made a mistake. The way he wrote a shtar, it wasn't written properly. So another Tana said, you know, why did you write the shtar improperly? Rebbe said to Rebbe Shimon, why did you write the shtar improperly? Rebbe Shimon answered, Amar, Hadar Chazebe Rebbe Bibishus. Amar and Amar Le, Lav Ana Ketafte. So the Gemara records one of the Tanaim answered, I didn't write it. I didn't write the shtar the wrong way. Rav Yehuda wrote it. So the way he defended himself was by saying, Rabbi Yehuda wrote it. Amar le Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe said to Rebbe Shimon, Bray, Krach me Lashon Hara zeh. Don't go away from this Lashon Hara. In other words, it was true. It was true that Rebbe Yehuda had written it. And yet, Rebbe said, this is Lashon Hara. Because you should have said what? I didn't write it. You should not have also said what? That he wrote it. He quotes the Rashbam. Lo hayil cholahatel ha'ashma alav. You shouldn't have placed the blame on the other person. If I didn't write it. So what do you see? Even though it was true that the other person wrote it, Rebbe assumed the other person wrote it, it was true. He said, still, to say the other person wrote it's Lashon Hara. So what do you see? Even when you're telling the truth, it could still be Lashon Hara. Another proof from the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Chafetz Chaim goes on. Again, he's bringing so many proofs here because, as he said, this is the major mistake, the primary mistake people make. And if you want to start the laws of Lashon Hara, like Mamish, the first sentence of the Sefer, get rid of this mistake. Stop, you know, get this out of your system. The fact that it's true does not make it mutter. Now he quotes the language of the Rishonim in the next paragraph in the footnote. The paragraph starts from V'chein Isa. Oh, so let's start there. V'chein Isa. V'chein Isa Lehedja. Now, lehedja means explicitly. It's a very good word to know. In Aramaic, there are two words. Behedja, or lehedja. Let's say, beis, hey, dalet, yud, aleph. Behedja, if it ends in an aleph, means clearly or explicitly. It's a very common word. You have a similar word, beis, hey, dalet, yud, and hey, bahadeh, which means with it or with him. So if you see lehedja, behedja, that means clearly or explicitly. It's a very good word to know. All the Rishonim use this language. Now he's going to quote. The Rambam is explicit. The Rambam says, Lashon Hara is not where you make something up about someone and you say he did something he didn't do. No, that's Motzi Shema. Lashon Hara is, the Rambam says, when you reveal something negative about your friend, even in the actions which he actually did, even if it's true. Oh, Ad Kan Lashon HaTahor, that's the beautiful, pure language of the Rambam. In general, when the Achronim quote the earlier Rishonim, they start the quote with Zeh Lashono, Zayin Lamed, and they end the quote Ad Kan Lashono, Ayin Kaf Lamed. That's the way they do end quote. So it's good to pick up that that's the system. Instead of using quotation marks, the classical Achronim say Zeh Lashono, quote, this is what he said, and it ends with Ad Kan Lashono. Sometimes when an Achron quotes a Rishon, he'll use the word Zal, like the Rambam Zal. So very often you'll see, When an Achron is quoting an earlier source, he'll write, Kosav HaRambam Zal Vizal. Now, the first Zal is Zichrono Livracha, when you quote a Tzadik or say Zecho Livracha. So HaRambam Zal, comma, Vizal, and Vizel Lashona. Here's what he's going to say. Here's what he's going to say. Okay. That's one example. So the Rambam in Pirkei Avos is explicit. Another example. V'chein Kosav HaRambam Beperek Zayin Mehilchos Deos. Halacha Beis, and Abayna Yonah, and Sharei Tshuva, all of them write explicitly, Lashon Hara is Aser, even if it's true. And finally, the Chafetz Chaim quotes, this is a very subtle diuk, that Rashi on Chumash, this Rashi we saw earlier, in the classes earlier, Rashi on Chumash sounds like Lashon Hara is Aser, even if it's true. Why? Because when Rashi is discussing Rechilus, here's the language of Rashi. V'chein Mashu Perish Rashi B'Chumash. And the pasuk of Oteliach Rochio. So, what does Rashi? Excuse me, he doesn't quote the language of Rashi. What does Rashi write? Rashi writes that you go to your friend's house. What is a Rochio? A talebearer. You go to your friend's house and you see what he's doing, and you go tell somebody else. And Rashi says that's Rechilus and that's Lashon Hara. We'll get to it in a few minutes that Rashi includes both Rechilus and Lashon Hara in his Perush on the Chumash. So Rashi is talking about where you go and see what somebody does and go tell somebody else about it. So it's true. You saw it and you're talking about it. Rashi doesn't say you made it up. You go and do, you see something and go tell someone about it. So you see from Rashi that it's implicit in Rashi It's a very subtle diuk that even if it's true, Lashon Hara is still aser. So these are the indications. This is the first chiddush of the Sefer. It's mamash in the first sentence of the Sefer. Lashon Hara is aser even if it's true. Again, most of us in our generation, this is a given to us from many people because he wrote the Sefer and this has become popular and he popularized this halach. He brought about, you know, not everyone knew this, but he brings many proofs. We skipped a few of them. Many proofs that Lashon Hara is aser even if it's true. That's yesod number one of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Okay. Now, as far as the source of this lav, we discussed this to a certain degree back in the introduction, but now the Chafetz Chaim says a little more here, and we're going to learn footnote Dalid, Ha'ara Dalid. It goes as follows. What is the source? What is the primary source that it's usher from the Torah to speak Lashon Hara? So we've been saying all along, it's the pasuk of Lo Seilech Recha Be'amecha. Don't be a talebearer. Now, meaning don't speak Rechilus. And the Rambam holds that Lashon Hara is more severe than Rechilus. Therefore, when the Torah says you can't speak Rechilus, that includes, by definition, automatically, also the Abeira of don't speak Lashon Hara. The Torah asers this specific prohibition of speech of Rechilus. And Lashon Hara is a more severe prohibition of speech, and therefore, when the Torah says L'seich Recha Be'amecha, that includes don't speak Lashon Hara. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes earlier, back in the beginning of the introduction, and that's what he quotes here. Okay. Why does the Rambam say that Lashon Hara's Aser is more severe than Rechilus? Because Lashon Hara is a case where a person speaks something specifically negative about another person, derogatory. Rechilus could be a case where what I'm saying isn't necessarily negative about the person, but I know that if I say this, it's going to stir up trouble. Reuven's talking to Shimon about Levi. Reuven tells Shimon something that Levi did. What Levi did might not necessarily be an Aveira, but Reuven knows if I tell Shimon what Levi did, Shimon's going to get upset and get angry and go after Levi, and that's Rechilus. I'm stirring up trouble. I'm causing a fight with my Dibur. That's Rechilus. I'm speaking to Shimon about Levi, even if it's not necessarily an Aveira what Levi did. So the Rambam holds that Rechilus is Aser even if it's not specifically wrong, Aser what Levi did. So Lashon Hara is where Reuven says, Levi did an Aveira. Levi did something bad. And Reuven is degrading Levi directly. Then that's more severe. This is the Rambam's approach. The Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam makes this point very clear. The Rambam discusses the laws of Lashon Hara in Hilchos Deos, Perek Zion. And the Kesef Mishnah there quotes the story of Doeg. We'll get to Doeg Bez Hashem a little bit again later. With the story with in Shmuel Aleph and Perek, Kaf Aleph and Kaf Beis, where Doeg informs Shaul that David is being hidden in Nov Irakoni, by Achimelech in the Irakoni. Now, the Kesef Mishnah points out that Chazal referred to what Doeg did as Rechilus. And the Rambam quotes it in Hilchos Deos, in the beginning of Perek Zion, when the Rambam discusses what is the basics of Rechilus, he quotes the Pasuk L'Seich Recha Be'amecha, and then he says, Tzei Umad, Ma Ira L'Doeg Ha'adomi. In his discussion, he refers to Doeg Ha'adomi, and that's Rechilus. So the Kesef Mishnah explains, why is Doeg the example of Rechilus? This is a fascinating Kesef Mishnah. He says as follows. Das Rabbeinu, the Rambam's opinion is, Sherachel Hainu Haomer Ploni Amar Alecha Kach Vakach O Asa Lach Kach Afal Pi Sheoso Dover Eino Gnus L'mishen Amar. It's not necessarily an Aveira what the person did. Kemo B'Halshanas Doeg Amar Alechi Melech Shenasan Alechem V'Cherev Goliath L'David. But Achimelech was supporting David. Ve'ilu nishal de'achimelech lo haya machish shein b'zeh gnuslo te'adirab achoshev she'ose avoda l'shol k'mo she's not so b'tvarov. Achimelech wasn't aware at the time that Shaul was upset with David. He was angry with David. David, he thought David was usurping. No. Achimelech didn't know that. So Achimelech thought he was doing a good thing. Shaul helps David. I'm helping David too. So what Doeg told Shaul that Achimelech did wasn't Lashon Hara. This is very subtle. Wasn't Lashon Hara but Achimelech. Because Achimelech really thought he was doing a good thing. That's called Rechilus. Doeg understood that when he told this to Shaul, Doeg knew what was happening. Doeg knew that Shaul would get angry and upset and go after something like go after Achimelech in one way or another. So that's Rechilus. So this is the Rambam Shita. Oh, that the Rambam holds, based on Doeg, that Rechilus is Usser, even if it doesn't necessarily include something negative about the third person. Very often, Rechilus is also Lashon Hara. Reuven tells Shimon that Levi did something usser and bad, which hurts Shimon. So that's Lashon Hara and Rechilus. Reuven speaking Lashon Hara about Levi, he did something usser and bad. And Reuven's riling up Shimon, look what Levi did about you, look what he said about you, look what he did to you. Very often, Rechilus also is Lashon Hara, but it is possible to violate Rechilus without Lashon Hara. And that's the example of Doeg. And that's the example the Rambam quotes. And that's why the Rambam can say, this is what the Chofetz Chaim is getting at here. That's why the Rambam can say that the lav of Rechilus includes automatically Lashon Hara, because Lashon Hara is worse than Rechilus. This is the approach of the Rambam to the topic. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim is referring to here. Let's read the beginning of footnote Daled. Kain kasav harambam, sham hilchos deos perek zayin, v'kavanaso dekol shekain hu. It's all the more so. Kevan shemevazeu besipur zeh. Since you're degrading the person, so then, Lashon Hara is worse than Rechilus. However, the Chofetz Chaim here raises an issue. The Ravid over there says no. The Ravid thinks, not like the Rambam. When you learn the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, very often the Ravid argues on what the Rambam says. The Ravid holds that Rechilus is more severe than Lashon Hara. Oh, that's the Ravid Shita. The Ravid holds Rechilus is more severe than Lashon Hara. The Chofetz Chaim continues. Ulehar Ravid b'hasagos shesover de Rechilus chamor mi Lashon Hara. That's the Ravid Shita. Why? There's a Gemara that says that Rechilus affects three people, and it could lead, Rachmana Litzlan, the Gemara says, to Ritzicha. What's the idea? So when you speak Rechilus, you're riling someone up. Reuven speaks to Shimon about Levi, and Reuven says something really, he says, Shimon, look what Levi did to you. So Reuven's getting Shimon riled up against Levi. So then Shimon might go take revenge and go do something bad to Levi. So that's terrible. And the Ravid holds that because of that, Rechilus is worse than Lashon Hara. If Reuven speaks Lashon Hara to Shimon about Levi, Levi did a bad thing. So, that's Usser. And Shimon will now have a negative view of Levi. Okay. Well, not okay, but okay in that sense. And Shimon has a negative view of Levi, which is not good. But there's nothing inherent in that interaction that should cause Shimon to go attack Levi. Why? He heard Levi did a bad thing, so Levi's a bad guy. So that's Lashon Hara. But if Reuven says to Shimon, look what Levi did about you, Levi said this about you, Levi did this, it's affecting you, he's riling Shimon up. Shimon might go and do something to Levi, he might kill him, Rachmana Litzlan. So therefore, the Ravid says that Rechilus is worse than Lashon Hara. The Ravid's referring to is based on the language of the Gemara, that the Gemara has a language, Lishna Tlisoi, Katil Tlisoi, that the lashon of about with three people can kill three people. What does that mean? That's referring to Rechilus, that Reuven speaks to Shimon, and this can cause Shimon to go about Levi, and this can cause Shimon to go kill Levi. They're all involved, all three are involved, and it can lead to Ritzicha. But by a normal case of Lashon Hara, that's not something which would follow. So that's the Ravid against the Rambam. So that's an interesting machlokas, that the Rambam's focusing on the fact that Lashon Hara, you're saying something negative about the person, that makes Lashon Hara worse than Rechilus. And the Ravid's focusing not on what you're saying, but what it might cause. And the Ravid says that since what might be caused by Rechilus is potentially more severe than what is normally caused by Lashon Hara, Rechilus is more severe than Lashon Hara. That is how the Nesivos Chaim explains the Ravid. So now, that's the Ravid Shita. So now the Chafetz Chaim here in footnote Dalid has to explain something. What does he have to explain? This is a very beautiful question. According to the Ravid, what is the source that in the Torah that there is an Isser Deraisa to speak Lashon Hara? The Torah says, Lo Seirech Rechlu Be'amecha, don't speak Rechilus. And the Ravid holds Rechilus is worse than Lashon Hara. So wait a second. So you can't say automatically if Rechilus is usher, then Kal v'chomer, all the more so Lashon Hara is usher, like the Rambam says, because the Ravid holds it's not true. The Ravid holds Lashon Hara is less severe. It's still severe, but it's less severe than Rechilus. So what's the Ravid source that it's usher from the Torah to speak Lashon Hara? So here in the footnote, this is fabulous, in footnote Dalid, the Chafetz Chaim reviews what he said in the Hakdama. If you didn't learn the Hakdama, it's not so simple to read this footnote. If you learn the Hakdama, this footnote reads very smoothly. Here's what the Chafetz Chaim says. According to the Ravid, that Rechilus is more chamor, Nuchaloma, we could say, Dili Dide, according to the Ravid, Nafkale, he learns it out from. I'll get back to Nafkale. I want to explain Nafkale in a minute. Nafkale, Bez Hashem. Nafkale, Lashon Hara Mikra, Delo Tisa, Kari Bein Lo Tasi, Asar L'Mesapra Lashon Hara, K'moshe Kosuf B'Psachim. So one possible source is Lo Tisa and Lo Tasi. We had this earlier. In other words, Lav Beis. Back in the introduction, Lav Aleph was Oseich Racha Be'Amecha. But the Ravid, who doesn't accept it as a source for Lashon Hara, he would go with Lav Beis back in the introduction. The Torah says, Lo Tisa Shem Hashav, don't cause someone else to accept an illegal report, which, to raise up an illegal report, excuse me, Lo Tisa Shem Hashav means, don't accept, don't raise up in your own mind an illegal report. And the Gemara says that Lo Tisa, Tuf, Sin, Aleph, can be read Lo Tasi, don't cause someone else to raise up in their mind and accept an illegal report, i.e., don't be makabel Lashon Hara, don't speak Lashon Hara. So that we learn back in Lav Beis. So the Chafetz Chaim says the Ravid would use that as his source for Lashon Hara. Or, Vigam, Mikra, Jarur, Makari, Abaseser, Shukoya Lashon Hara, Kamoshi Pirish Rashi Bechumish. Or, as we saw in the Arurs, right, at the end of the Psicha, the Chafetz Chaim has a list of curses. And Rachmana Litzlan, if you speak Lashon Hara, you get this curse. And one of the Arurs, the Chafetz Chaim explained, this is the first Arur that he lists here, right at the end of the Psicha, before the Sefer, is one who speaks Lashon Hara, Makabeo Beseser. You hit your friend in private. Rashi says, well, how do you hit your friend in private? Speaking Lashon Hara, you're getting him, he doesn't know you're attacking him. That's that curse. So the Ravid either goes with Lav Beis, or he goes with Arur Aleph. Or, a third possibility, this is all in the Chafetz Chaim's footnote, Umikra dezachor es asher aso Hashem el kechul umiria, shukrei shinzar b'lashon hara, kinesi b'sifra, kemoshe b'yarnu el b'psicha, and he refers back to the psicha, or Lav Gimel. In Lav Gimel, we learn this as well, the Chafetz Chaim says, there's another possible source for the Lav of Lashon Hara, by Miriam. By Miriam, there's one mitzvah, a positive mitzvah, remember what Hashem did to Miriam, and there's a Lav, be careful, don't do what led to what Hashem did to Miriam. We learn that as well, by the pasuk about Negat Saras. Don't do what Miriam did, which will cause you to receive Negat Saras, to receive Saras. So the Chafetz Chaim says, the Ravid agrees that there's a lav of not to speak, of it's also to speak Lashon Hara. It's a lav in the Torah. What's his source? It's not the pasuk of Oseich Racha Be'Amecha. It's one of these three. It's either Lav Beis from the introduction, or Lav Gimel from the introduction, or the first Arur at the end of the introduction. Then the Chafetz Chaim gives a fourth possibility, which is, oh, so the Peres Rashi B'Chumash. This is the Peres Rashi we had before.
Darochel mikre, mi shaholich lebeis reyehu, liragel, ulai yira o yishma davar rav yisakar bashuk.
So when the, this is interesting. This is actually very interesting. The Chavetz Chaim quotes Rashi, that Rashi says, don't go into someone's house, or don't spy out someone in their house to see what they're doing, and then go speak about this bad thing, davar ra, and yisakar bashuk. So earlier, the Chavetz Chaim used this as a source that Lashon Hara is aser, even if it's true. Because Rashi implies you go to the person's house and you see something bad happening and you go talk about it. Even if it's true, it's aser. Now he's saying that if you read Rashi carefully, Rashi seems to be including both Rechilus and Lashon Hara within this pasuk. Not like, this is very subtle, not like the Rambam, that the pasuk is talking about Rechilus. And then we learn a kal v'chomer to lashon hara. No, the pasuk means both. The pasuk is talking about both. Someone who goes and spies somebody else out, and then goes and talks about it, and it's something bad. V'hine kol al harochel v'amasaper lashon hara biyachad b'milas rochel. That is another possible source for the isser of lashon hara, included in the pasuk of Rechilus. Not that it's a kal v'chomer, but it's mamish part of the pasuk itself. So, this is a very exciting footnote. The Chavetz Chaim here is giving us depth. What is the source of the lav of Lashon Hara? According to the Rambam, it's very clear what the source is. According to the Ravid, it's less clear, because the Ravid holds Rechilus is more severe than Lashon Hara, as we explained. Oh. So, according to the Ravid, the Chavetz Chaim raises four other possible sources for what is the Isser of, what is the source in the Torah for the lav of Lashon Hara. Okay. Either way, Lashon Hara is an Issur D'oraisa. It's a lav. We've known that it's more than one lav. We've known that already from the introduction. But again, the Chavetz Chaim starts the Sefer with the basic halacha. That's how you write a halacha Sefer. Start from the basics and then go further. Now, the word nafka is a good word to know. Nun, pei, kuf, aleph. Nafka means the root puk. Pei, vuv, kuf means to go out, to leave, to go out. It's a very good root to know. It comes up a lot. We say in the Zmiros on Shabbos, "Va'apek yas amech migol galusa." Hashem, take out the nation from galus. Apek, puk, take out. So nafka has a meaning when you learn something out from something. He learned it out from here. Sometimes you'll find the language nafka. He learned it out from nafka way. The classic term use of nafka, which we're familiar with, is the term nafkamina. My nafkamina. The word nafkamina, it's very important. When you see Aramaic phrases, you have to know the idiomatic meaning. What does it mean in context? And you also, it's good to learn what's the literal meaning, because a lot of times this phrase that you know, it's contextual meaning, but the words might come in a different form somewhere else. It's good to get to the root of the word as well and understand the word, the root as well. Nafkamina means what nafka comes out mina from it. In our terminology, what's the difference? If there's a machlokas, if one Rishon says X and one Rishon says Y, they explain the Gemara differently. My nafka mina, what's the practical difference? Halacha lamaisa, what's the difference between this one and that one? We care what the Gemara means, but halacha lamaisa, what's the difference between them? So the term that we often use for what's the practical difference is my nafka mina, what's the difference? But my nafka mina literally means what comes out from it. What is the which means, what is the practical difference, halacha lamaisa, which comes out from this machlokas that we saw? It's a very good phrase, it comes up a lot. Mai nafka mina, what's the difference? Okay. Good. That is halacha aleph. Let's continue. Halacha beis. Halacha beis. The Chavetz Chaim here refers again back to the introduction. I mean, Sif Beis. Halav hazeh shekasavnu, this lav that we wrote, hu ma shekisavatu ha-Torah, beferish meyuchad liser zeh shalosh ner b'chivas. The lav that I mentioned, l'serech b'acha b'amecha, that's the pasuk which is explicitly about Lashon Hara. Aval, however, b'lav hachi, aside from this, yesho et harbe lavin v'yasein acherim, shu over alein oide sipra ha-razeh, you violate many other averis as well. Like I explained earlier, in the psicha yain sham. Again, This is part of presenting the Beis HaKlach. You have to know. It's one lav, it's many lavs. It's a very severe lav. This is part of the introduction of the halachas themselves, that Lashon Hara is a real lav. It's one lav, it's more than one lav. That's what Lashon Hara is. Now the Chafetz Chaim is going to teach us the severity of Lashon Hara. This point he refers to in the introduction. We didn't mention it there, but we're learning it here now. Amru Chazal. This is a very potent Chazal. Very, very strong. Makes you really want to remind ourselves to Chas V'Shalom. Let's not speak a lot of Lashon Hara. Chas V'Shalom. Amru Chazal. Al Shalosh Averos Nifra. This is Halacha Dalet. Al Shalosh Averos Nifraim Min Adam Ba'olam Hazeh. Ve'ein Lolcheg Olam Haba. There are three Averos that are so severe, a person is punished in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Eguhein. Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, "V'lashon hara keneged kulan." Somehow, lashon hara corresponds to all of them. Lashon hara is very severe. The Gemara in Erechin explicitly compares lashon hara to the three cardinal sins. Now, ve'viu Chazal alzer raim in aksuvim, and Chazal bring a proof from the psukim about this idea. And they don't just say it; they have a proof from the psukim. Now, uperishu har rishonim, the rishonim explain. The Chafetz Chaim here is pointing out that this very severe statement of Chazal does not apply to a person who by mistake speaks Lashon Hara once in a while. That's bad, but it's not as bad as this. This Maimer Chazal, we'll see in the footnotes, this Maimer Chazal refers to someone who is considered, quote-unquote, a Baal Lashon Hara. He is a Lashon Hara speaker. That's who he is. That's like his name. He's a Baal Lashon Hara speaker. He speaks Lashon Hara all the time. It's common. He basically doesn't accept about himself. He views it as if it's mutter. Basically, in his mind, in his life, Lashon Hara basically doesn't exist. A person like that, Rahmanu Litzlan, that is as severe as the cardinal three sins. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes here in footnote in Hara Vav, that this very severe statement of Chazal is not talking about a person who speaks Lashon Hara once in a while. Let's see inside. Look at the last paragraph in footnote Vav. Umash kasafti uperishu arishonim, and that which I wrote. That the Rishonim explain, etc. That this only applies to one who is a habitual, common, all the time Lashon Hara speaker. Who Rabbeinu Yona b'Sharei Tshuva Bilgos Lashon Hara Shelo. V'chem Luchim Medivei Rambam Perek Yom Hilchos Tshuva. That he says Ein Ochel Olam Haba V'Kachashiv Gam Kein B'Tocham Baalei Lashon Hara. The Baal Lashon, that's the a Baal Lashon Hara means that that's what he is. He's a Baal. He's always speaking Lashon Hara. Lokheimer, the Rambam doesn't write Misha Siper Lashon Hara, one who speaks Lashon Hara. No, Rak Bale Lashon Hara, a Baal Lashon Hara. Oh, and he quotes from other sources as well. So the Rambam is listing those that Rahman Litzchan who is the Chelek on Olam Haba, and he says a Baal Lashon Hara. Why doesn't Rambam write this one who speaks Lashon Hara? Because apparently the Rambam held that when the Gemara compares it to the three cardinal sins, it's referring to a Baal Lashon Hara, a person who basically, I don't hold up Lashon Hara. For me, it's mutter. I speak Lashon Hara wantonly. The Chafetz Chaim in Halacha Gimel refers to this idea of the difference between a Baal Lashon Hara and a person who speaks once in a while. Let's go back to Halacha Gimel now. We'll understand it better. Sif Gimel. Kol zeh afilim rak b'mikre siper gnus chaveru. Everything we've said till now is only if a person spoke Lashon Hara once in a while. Avim chas v'shalom hur gal ba'avon zeh b'tzmidus. If you're accustomed to this, it's hur gal. It's your nature. K'mo elu sherigilin tamid leishay v'lasaper. It's their nature. They always sit and they're accustomed to it. It's their nature. Hergel. It's the norm for them to sit and speak Lashon Hara. Kach v'kach asa ploni, kach v'kach asa avosav, kach v'kach shematov. I heard this about him. I heard this negative thing about him. V'udvarim shognus, anashim ke'elu heim nikram b'fi chazal ba'alei Lashon Hara. V'yonchem har be'yoser gadol. Their punishment is even worse. Rachmanu Litzlan. B'zadon ovim al Torah Hashem v'nas says that's some kehefker. It's wanton. They just do whatever they want. As I wrote above in the psicha. So that's the beginning of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, that Lashon Hara is Aser, it's a lav, it's more than one lav, it's a terrible avera. You speak Lashon Hara once, you violate many averas, we discussed in the introduction. Okay. And on top of that, if Rahman al-Litzlan, a person is a Baal Lashon Hara, that's a title, that's your title, it's wanton, then it's a much more severe punishment. Even you can lose Olam Haba. It's comparable to the three cardinal sins. Well, so we have to remember this and not speak Lashon Hara at all, and certainly make sure that we're not a Baal Lashon Hara, Chas V'Shalom, and if a person speaks, we have to cut back and stop. We discussed earlier, back in the introduction, that the Chafetz Chaim talks about that that partial success is also something important to work on. We discussed that earlier. The Chafetz Chaim quotes that in the Sefer Shemir Salashan. That at least a person has to work on Rahmano, it's not Hefka. I'm going to start. I'll start somewhere and speak less and be more careful. That's the Chafetz Chaim in Halacha and Seifim Aleph through Daled. Okay. Let's begin Seif Hey. Ein Chiluk Be'isr HaSipur Beinim Sipur Me'atzmo Kiritzono It doesn't matter whether you spoke Lashon Hara on your own or whether your friend said, please tell me. If your friend pressured you, if Sibro pressured you to tell them, it's still the same Isser. Okay, that makes sense. It doesn't matter whether you on your own spoke Lashon Hara or Stam out of the blue or somebody tried to encourage you, come on, please tell me. It's still the same Aveira. Right, we discussed earlier in the introduction. If someone just said, please eat this tray food, you're not going to do it. And the Chafetz Chaim we discussed in the previous classes over and over compares Lashon Hara to eating tray food. Now the Chafetz Chaim goes on. Va'afilu avivo rabo, shemechuyav b'chvodam uvamoram, sholistor divrayam, even a person's parent, even a person's Rebbe. A person is not allowed, a person has to show kavod to his parents, kavod to his Rebbe. You're not supposed to contradict your Rebbe or your parent. So what if a Rebbe or a parent is asking you to speak Lashon Hara, im hein bikshu mimenu shiyisaper lem inyan ploni uploni, they ask you to speak Lashon Hara. V'hu yodeya. You know you're going to there's going to Lashon Hara. They say, tell me what happened with this person. Tell me what happened. And you know it's going to be Lashon Hara. Oh, afilu rak le'avak shel Lashon Hara aser lo lishmolem. You can't listen. If a person whom you respect and whom you have to respect asks you to violate an Aveira, you can't violate the Aveira. That's the Lacha. Kibud Aveim is very important. But if a parent asks a child to do an Aveira, and it's mamash an Aveira, then the child's not allowed to do it. If a person has to have covered for his Rebbe, if a Rebbe makes a mistake, and somehow tells his student, do this, and it's an Aveira, the student's not supposed to listen. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes here in footnote Ches, Avivo Rabo, Poshut, Mimad B'mavur B'yaradeya, B'simen Reishman, Im Amar Lo Aviv, Lavar Filo Mitzvah Shodivim, Lo Yishmalo, V'odin B'vadei Gabe Rabo. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, if a father says, do this, and it's Aser, you're not allowed to listen. You can't listen. So the Chafetz Chaim is pointing out, we have to be careful. We have to be careful regarding Lashon Hara, even if a parent or a Rebbe encourages us to speak Lashon Hara, it's still Aser. Now, two comments about this. There's more to talk about this, but two comments about this. Number one, we will discuss this Bez Hashem later on in these classes. Sometimes or often, it depends on the situation, when a parent is asking a child for what happened, a lot of times there could be a toelis involved, a benefit involved. And it's not always pure Lashon Hara. It's very good, for example, for parents to know what's going on in their children's schooling. What's happening in school? And it's good for parents to know, you know, are some kids in school fighting a lot, or some kids, because you want to know what's happening, so to try to help your child deal with it, and either avoid negative situations or deal with them in an appropriate way, it's important for parents to know what's happening in their children's school. So sometimes when parents ask what's happening in school, so it's not lashon hara. It's toelis. It's mutter for these things to be said. So the Chofetz Chaim here is discussing a case where it's clearly not mutter. It's not for toelis. It's just the parents that they're talking and they want to know what happened. They're interested and it's lashon hara. But we'll discuss later. There are a lot of details about how that works. But there are times, especially when it comes to schooling, that if the parents have to know what's going on in school. That will get to the details later. So the Chofetz Chaim here is assuming that there's no toelis involved. And there's no benefit here. It's just pure lashon hara. Number two, and this is very important, very important. Let's say a child has to say somehow no to his parents. You know, I can't do this aveira, or to a rebbe. You have to do it in a way that's as honorable as possible. We don't want to be having fights with our rebbeim, or a mentor, or a rav, or friends, or our parents, and it's a very good idea to ask someone, you know, ask advice about something like this. You know, how do I go about doing this? You know, is there a way, you ask somebody who has more life experience, somebody older, how do I, you know, there are different ways of saying no. Very often in real life, when something like this is happening, it's not just what's happening that causes tension between the parent and the child or the Rebbe and the student, but it's how it's said, and how the child, if a child needs to say no for some reason, based on the laws of Lashon Hara, if a student needs to say no to his Rebbe, based on the laws of Lashon Hara, if a friend needs to say no to another friend, so there are ways of saying things in a less confrontational manner, and it's important to have that in mind as well. And it's something to think about, and to ask advice of somebody older, if I'm forced to say no, how do I say no? My Rebbeim call this the fifth chelk of Shulchan Aruch. There's what's mutter, what's aser, etc. And then there's how it should be said, and in what tone it should be said, to try to avoid a, you know, more serious conflict. Just one example. For example, Rav Orlovich Shlita always says that if possible, it's best to discuss something that's tense at a non-tense time. So if you have a friend, Reuven and Shimon are friends, and Reuven knows Shimon asks him to do a certain aveira. So if he says no, well, right then he says no, he says, what do you mean? And then they have a fight. So at a different time, when he's not asking him to do an aveira, but Reuven thinks it's going to happen in the future, he can sit down with Shimon at a calm time and say, Shimon, you know, and discuss it and raise it. When it's not actually happening now, that's a less tense time in their relationship. And it's easier to discuss difficult topics when it's not tense. When it's happening and you're tense and you're upset, and to discuss it then it could create a whole big fight. So see, hey, this is the halacha. But you have to know, A, sometimes there's toelis, and B, when you do have to say no to a friend, to a parent, to a rebbe, you have to think about and learn and ask advice how to say no. What's the right way to say no that it shouldn't cause too much tension? Oh, so there's more to do in halacha. Hey, Bezer Hashem, next time we'll continue with halacha. So today we saw the beginning, the first half of Klal Aleph. We're learning the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, the halachos, with many of the highlights from the ha'arvos, from the footnotes. We reviewed again the basic source of the Isra of Lashon Hara, the Lav Osech Lecha Be'amecha. We discussed in some detail, according to the Ravid, that Rechilus is worse than Lashon Hara. We didn't see that earlier in the year. But that Rechilus is worse than Lashon Hara. What is his source for the Isra of Lashon Hara? The Chofetz Chaim quotes several sources which are familiar to us from our earlier discussions of the introduction. Then the difference between a person who speaks Lashon Hara once in a while and a Baal Lashon Hara Rachmana Litzlan, it's a much more severe offense. And finally, Lashon Hara's Usur, even if someone's pressuring to speak Lashon Hara, even a Rebbe or a parent or a friend, you still can't speak the Lashon Hara if it's Usur, certainly in most cases, without the exceptions that we mentioned earlier. Next class, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up in Halacha Hey. Because the Chofetz Chaim has a footnote here where he refers to the story of Doeg HaAdomi, very, very important footnote, and we'll continue from there. Okay, we'll stop here.